New tracks like who's that? I'm new, come back better than last year. It's a new me, never gonna look back. Never gonna look back. Cause damn, I was built to last. You move slow and I move fast. And that's facts. Only I can make a change. Slowly take a step today. I will never be the same. Cause that's what it takes.
Boom, bang, shakalaka. What's good? What's happening, everybody? It's your boy, Ferris Muthana, and welcome to another great episode of Entertainment News Break. Today, it is our Oscar recap show, where we talk about the glitz and glamour of the movie industry and its biggest night. Tonight, I am not alone. I'm never alone, really. I got my main man, the Oscar expert himself, Brennan Marr. Brennan, how are you, my man?
Good. I'd like to thank the Academy.
I would also like to thank the Academy for existing as well. So, Brennan, I know, man, you're a big Oscars fan. One of your favorite events, one of your favorite categories, and you did movie trivia. Give me your overall thoughts on the ceremony, and then we'll get into, like, specific categories that we kind of enjoyed.
I think that the ceremony overall was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as always, there's a few moments of attempts at humor that don't work and things like that. But I think as far as the winners, as far as things like that, I'm pretty happy.
That's good.
Overall.
I am with you, Brennan. Overall, I like the ceremony. I like the certain bits of the ceremony. Jimmy Kimmel is whatever. I think they should get somebody else. But ABC, you know, they're done with the hosts, so they just keep bringing back Kimmel. And I'm like, eh, whatever. My favorite parts of the ceremony was John Mulaney explaining Field of Dreams. That was funny. As well as Mr. Freeze and the Penguin, Danny DeVito, yes, and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
You know, talking smack about Batman, Michael Keaton. And it was pretty funny as well. I think no one talked about it. Like, Arnold said SOB twice in the live performance, and I started laughing, and no one said anything, and he wasn't bleeped out, and it just had me dying profusely. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I quite enjoyed it. Did you like the new way of their when they did actor awards?
I did. They did that in 2009 and 2010.
Yeah, where the former nominees,
yeah,
kind of winners came and broke it. That's an old thing.
Yeah, I did like it. I mean, obviously, I would have enjoyed seeing the clips of the performances, but
mm-hmm.
I do like getting to see the former winners all on stage together. That's really cool.
I remember one year where they brought up Best Actress, like last year's Best Actress, mm-hmm. would then say Best Actor, and then like vice versa.
Like, yeah, Best Actor.
That's how they usually do it. That's pretty good. But you know, a lot of big winners of the night. The biggest winner of the night, Brennan, I think you can agree with me, is Oppenheimer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So they won the most.
Seven Oscars.
Yeah. I said over under 8 on our open table show.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Adelia did an Oscar show. I said, give me the over under 8, and I said go under, and I was correct. I hit it.
Very good.
We got a couple people in the chat. He says, you know, we got Shug. Oh, hey, Ferris Live. Was told that ain't a thing. Hi, Brennan. You know what? Sometimes special moments deserve special shows. Am I right, Brennan?
Yep. Hey, Shug. Yeah. How you doing?
Yeah. Rodney, I heard you'll be right back. I am going to be right back. I'll be right back. I'm going to have to do a show with my main man, Brennan. I can't let my main man do it. Hendo, I heard you don't do live streams. You know, special occasion, guys. Special occasion. But Brennan, let's get down to the nitty gritty, the specific categories. Which one was your favorite win of the night?
Christopher Nolan for Best Director.
Best Director. Why, Brendan?
I've loved Christopher Nolan for years, 20 years almost. And I always felt like with The Dark Knight and with Inception,
mm-hmm.
that he didn't really get his Oscar due in terms of not getting nominated for the directing and so on. I mean, he was nominated for Dunkirk, which I was happy when he was nominated there. But to have him win is exciting because, in my personal opinion, he is the greatest filmmaker of the 21st century. What I mean is that basically all of his films were made in the 23rd century, and they have been some of the most critically and commercially successful movies of the past 20 years. And so I was very happy.
100%.
That finally he got his due.
Anything else, Brendan?
No, it was just great to see him up there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So my favorite category, my favorite victory was, let me take this back, was, let me see. I'm going to double check I got the right one. Yes. Best Supporting Actor. Yes. Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
15 years. 15 years? 15...
Yeah, 16. Yeah.
15, 16 years. He was a drugged out, has been washout. And then in 2008, he got his life together. He was good. Mm-hmm. And Jon Favreau said, "Hey, man, I'm making this comic book movie called Iron Man, and I want you to be my Iron Man."
Mm-hmm.
And the studio was like, "Hell no, that man's a drug addict. I don't want him here." And Jon Favreau and Kevin Feige said, "No, he's okay. He's cleaned up. He's great. He's fine. He's gotten his life back together. He's rebuilt himself. He's bounced back." And we then proceed to see one of the greatest acting performances of our time as Iron Man. Yes, I said it, as Iron Man.
Yeah.
And he knows that film Hollywood, like, you know, like cinema, like, no, not like big temp, like action movies, like the establishment sees those movies as like, yeah, you don't really act. So they never gave him the credit he deserved. You know, same thing with overall society. They look at those comic book films and be like, yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but seeing redemption play out in real time. And seeing a culmination of him getting an Oscar.
Yeah.
16 years, Brendan. I've been 16 years. I've been watching this man play my favorite character, not named Spider-Man.
Yes.
For 16 years. And he not only deserves this award, but he earned this award in this film. It wasn't like thank you for your achievement award. It wasn't Scent of a Woman. You know what I mean?
No, it was not. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't Training Day for them screwing up, you know, Malcolm X. It wasn't that. It was, he balled out in this movie, in Oppenheimer. And he was great. The juxtaposition between him and Cillian Murphy, they were tugging and pulling each other. And they always fit well in the movie. And to see him there hold that golden man.
Yeah.
It was beautiful to see.
It's beautiful. Yeah, and it was great because in the movie he is not playing, it's not just Tony Stark all over again.
No, he's not.
Strauss is a completely different character.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so great to see RDJ get outside of the Iron Man bubble and show that he can do more than that.
Exactly.
And that's a sign of a good actor.
110%. So, Brennan, as we were going down the ceremony, what was a category that you found surprising to see a victory in?
I was surprised. Well, we'll get there, but I was surprised at Emma Stone's win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with it. It was just a surprise because I thought it was going to go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So. But I had a feeling something like that would happen.
Yeah, yeah. I see a lot of people. Yeah, I'm with you on the surprising for that category. I see a lot of people making the like, oh, but Lily Gladstone was under an hour. And so she's not really a lead. I'm like, bro, Anthony Hopkins won for Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
He was on screen for like 17 minutes.
Very true. Very true.
So screen time means nothing. Yeah. It means absolutely nothing.
It means nothing.
Yeah, it means nothing. So, yeah, that was kind of surprising. But kind of Emma Stone winning, you know, I'm not surprised. And, you know, I kind of not mad because all the other actresses in that category, well, except Sandra, like Lily had to act with Leonardo DiCaprio so that they were connected. Carey Mulligan had to act with Bradley Cooper. They were connected. Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of the Fall and Emma Stone in Poor Things, the subject of the movie was them.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, and I think that kind of helped. That kind of helped her victory along in my.
Yeah, I think I agree.
It's two-time Oscar winner Emma Stone.
Yes, indeed.
Who would have known that the woman from Easy A would be a two-time Oscar winner? Who would have known? And Superbad, especially Superbad. Yeah. Watching Superbad now, it's hilarious knowing that that woman, she's going to win two Oscars.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. She's wonderful.
She's amazing. She knows comedy well. She knows dramedy well. She's very tight with you, Yorgos Lanthimos. Like I said on our Friday show, I ain't watching any of his movies ever again. I'm not doing it. That man freaks me out. You know,
I watched Poor Things on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't think I'll watch it again. Mm-hmm. Just because I do think it's very creative. It just may be a bit too strange for me.
Mm-hmm.
But bravo to him.
Bravo to him. Bravo to him. Brennan, how do you like the performances throughout the ceremony of the best songs? Everyone's talking about the Just Ken performance by Ryan Gosling. Now he hit it out of the park. Do you like the incorporation of them doing that?
Yes, I do like the best song performances.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this year in particular, Billie Eilish nailed it, as always.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Gosling was amazing doing that. I really enjoyed those two in particular.
Yeah. Did you get your, let's say, your predictions? How correct were you in your predictions?
Overall?
Yes, overall.
Pretty good. I'd say overall pretty good. There were a couple of categories where I wasn't really sure. So I went a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was incorrect, but I'm not upset about that because I think the winners were worthy of that award, and we'll get to those in a minute when we get there.
All right, now Brennan, let's talk about the victors.
All right,
we're gonna go one by one from the bottom to the top. So, starting with best writing, original screenplay, it goes to Anatomy of the Fall, screenplay by Justine Triet and Arthur Harari. This category, Brennan, I'm not gonna lie, didn't know who's gonna win it. Holdovers had the controversy before the ceremony of them being accused of plagiarism, so that it would have been crazy if they won the award because all hell would have broken loose. So Anatomy of the Fall kind of saved the Oscars. Do you think they got this right?
Well, first off, I want to shout out to May December.
May December.
Got a nomination here, and I was very happy. Because the movie took something that could have been extremely crass and exploitative that actually made it interesting. So I did want to mention that. As far as the category, the holdovers situation is almost every big hit in Hollywood has been accused of plagiarism. There was some guy that said Finding Nemo was his idea.
That is true.
Somebody claimed that it had been stolen. So I don't know the truth of the holdover situation. But regardless of that, I do think the holdovers had a great screenplay. To me, Anatomy of the Fall was what I had predicted and what I had hoped would win. Because I really think that Justine Triet and Arthur Harari did an amazing job taking a movie that could have been very cliched and making it interesting. And I think that they awarded the right film, I think.
Nice. I'm with you on it, Brendan. I did not really have a horse in this race because I didn't really know anything about most of those films. I hadn't watched, only watched the holdovers. So, and it's very well written. I'm definitely going to watch Anatomy of the Fall because of the victories. So there's that. So I'm kind of happy for Justine. You know, she also, she won, she was nominated for Tar, I believe. So there's that. But then we get to the best original screenplays, Brother. Or sister, in case. Best adapted screenplay and best writing. The winner became American Fiction. Is written by Cord Jefferson, beating out Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Zone of Interest. So this was a big upset. This kind of took people by surprise. Some people say it was the weakest of the bunch. Some people liked it. Me, I can't say how, if this is an upset or not, because I haven't seen American Fiction yet. I'm going to watch it and see if it's justly deserved. But were you, a lot of people were kind of taken aback, kind of shocked by this victory, Brendan. Were you one of those folks?
It didn't shock me, no, because I think that American Fiction had been doing very well at the other award shows with screenplay. I saw all five of these films. It was an incredible year for screenplays overall. That's my biggest takeaway, is that this is the year of great screenplays. But 2023 was. And this was one of those categories that was a little bit up in the air. It was, a lot of people were saying American Fiction. A lot of people were saying Oppenheimer. A lot of people were saying Barbie. Now, I'm very happy for Cord Jefferson. Because I think the movie is a brilliant comedy satire, similar to something you might have gotten from Mel Brooks. It has that kind of feel. I was very happy with that because I enjoyed the film. I was hoping that Barbie would pull this one because Barbie did the impossible. Barbie took the dumbest idea you could think of and made a great movie. And so I'm also a big fan of Greta Gerwig. So I was kind of hoping she'd win, but I am not upset by American Fiction winning, because, like I said, this year in screenplays is just so good.
Yeah, personally, I think me and you, Brendan, we talked about it when the Oscars were dropped. I don't think Barbie should have been in this category because I think it's an original screenplay.
I agree. Like, I agree with that.
Yeah, like I get it's Barbie and everyone knows about Barbie, but everyone knows how to play with Barbies. No one's ever made Barbie's story. So there's no story to go off of. Like, there really isn't no story to go off of. So it's an original screenplay.
The choice to put it in the adapted category
was, I think incorrect. It was definitely incorrect. I don't know if they pushed for it to be an adapted screenplay or the Academy made them an adapted screenplay. Either way, it was incorrect on both fronts if it was true, because it's an original story. Because, you know, and I don't think it should. Then it would have gone against Justine and the holdovers, and it would have probably been had a better chance of winning.
Yeah, I agree there.
Yeah. And then we keep going up, Brennan. We're at the best VFX, visual effects. Godzilla Minus One wins this one. And I loved the people. Well, before that, let me talk about, I'm gonna talk about Cord Jepson real quick. He in his speech, he talked about, instead of making, you know, kind of like, guys, you know, we make one $200 million movie or two $100 million movies. How about you make 20 $10 million movies, or, you know, or 10 $20 million movies, or, you know, like, you know, be more fiscally responsible. And that's the thing, right? And that, you know, that's the thing that I find it hilarious. So, like, during the strike, these people were talking about, like, how we want to be, like, financially protected if a movie flops. Like, hey, how about you don't just throw your money at random movies? Be smart, be fiscally responsible, make sure to produce movies that are gonna make you like reap a lot of rewards. Like, A24 does that. A24 makes like $20 million movies all the time, and they make $100 million. And, you know, you see an A24 movie, like, oh, it only made $150 million. Whack. Oh yeah, but the movie will only cost like $10 million.
Yeah, that's true. That's,
you know what I mean? True. Like, oh, the movies only cost like $5 million. So it makes $200 million.
I do have to disagree slightly with Cord Jefferson. Mm-hmm. And not disagree, but just say that a great movie is a great movie. So if you have a movie that's $10 million and a movie that's $200 million and they're both great, well, that's great.
Yes.
But I do agree with him in the sense that the less you spend on the movie, the less you have to worry about losing money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. So now, shout out to the Godzilla Minus One team. They all wore Godzilla shoes. All their heels were Godzilla's hand. They brought up Godzilla in toys to their acceptance speech. Mm-hmm. Tremendous overall vibe. I am happy they won it. I have seen images of this movie, and it's beautiful to see. And, you know, the Godzilla looks great. I need to watch the entire movie, but I think this one, the imaging I saw was quite tremendous. So good for them, for Godzilla Minus One. What were your feelings about this category, Brennan?
I'm glad they won. I missed the film when it was in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't seen it yet, but I am very happy for them because the making a movie that almost everybody who saw it loved, that's great, because sometimes a movie might win for its visual effects, but the movie overall is not that great. In this case, The movie was great. Everyone loved it and had an emotional reaction to it. So to me, when you can take an emotional story and add great visual effects, then you've done a good job. So I'm very happy for that.
Well, absolutely. My thing is this, like you're right, Brennan, like some of these VFX movies, most of them like stink, right? Like they all stink. But in this category, I know for a fact, two bona fidely good movies, Guardians and Mission Impossible. People loved Godzilla, so that's three bona fidely good movies. The Creator I haven't seen much about, and Napoleon I haven't seen much about. So you had a minimum of three at least good films, you know?
Yeah, and I've seen The Creator and Napoleon.
Mm-hmm.
And my reaction is, they're okay. They're okay.
Yeah, they're not bad, they're okay.
That's all I could say. They're all good.
Mm-hmm. Going on, moving on to the next category, Brennan. We're going to go best sound. In Zone of Interest, Brennan, a movie you told me is one, you called it a masterpiece, actually, Brennan, won this award, Zone of Interest, beating out Oppenheimer, Mission Impossible, Maestro, and The Creator. Oppenheimer losing best sound. That is quite an achievement. But Zone of Interest, Brennan, when you heard them say Zone of Interest, because you told me a masterpiece, what were you feeling at that moment?
I was thinking Oppenheimer would win, but I had a feeling that Zone might win.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, Zone of Interest, the use of sound in that movie was astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's no secret that in the movie, you're watching this Nazi family.
Mm-hmm.
The dad is the commander of the Auschwitz. You never see what's going on across the wall in the concentration camp. But you hear it, and it's almost more horrifying because you don't see it. But the sound paints such a frightening picture that your imagination fills in the rest. The sounds of people working and screaming and getting killed. The sounds of the furnaces going. The sounds of nature where the family is out listening for birds in the trees. Like it's any other day, not caring about all the loud noise of people being murdered. So it's truly an extraordinary use of sound. I mean, Oppenheimer had fantastic sound.
Mm-hmm.
And Zone of Interest had fantastic sound. So either way, it would have been great. But I'm glad Zone of Interest did, because what it did to make it more horrifying just by the sound.
I'm with you, Brennan. I'm with you. I've heard a lot of things that are kind of viscerally, like, your imagination, like the biggest thing why people love reading books is your imagination makes you run wild because you can't really see nothing, right? So if you're just hearing what's going on, you know, it's kind of your mind kind of plays tricks on you, you know? So this use of sound really portrays a good essence, because sound, Brennan, audio is the only medium, Brennan, that actually enters the body,
mm-hmm.
right? So it enters our body and it rattles on our eardrum and it makes us, it literally affects us. I've seen a video mm-hmm. of music where someone shot of a stream of water and music is playing, and the water, when it hit the music, started kind of bouncing up and down. So mm-hmm. it definitely affects us. So, and you know, the subject matter of this movie, it's horrible. It's visceral. It's mm-hmm. atrocious. It's genocide. And it was, it's so using that, the thing that actually enters our body. So great choice by Jonathan Glazer.
Mm-hmm.
So we start getting to the short films. Can't really say much about them because I'd never really watched any. Best live action short film goes to Wes Anderson and Steven Rails, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Yep.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Brennan? Because I really don't have any thoughts on it, because I'm like, yeah, it's cool. I don't really, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. It's not I don't care about the category. I'm just not well-versed in this category.
Yeah, I did see the film because it's on Netflix. And I thought it was as wonderfully quirky as Wes Anderson gets.
Mm-hmm.
I predicted that he would win in this category. I figured, because usually no one really pays attention to that category, but when you have a big name like Wes Anderson, people are going to pay attention to that one. I'm very glad Wes finally has an Oscar. I was a little bummed that he wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that it would have been more wonderful if he had been there so that we could see him get this award. That I figured that one would win. I only saw two of the live action shorts. But I figured Henry Sugar would win because it's Wes Anderson and everyone knows him.
Yep, yep. I'm in agreement with you. I'm with agreement. All right. So then, best animated short film, it went to The War Is Over, inspired by music of John and Yoko. I found out it's a movie based on a song Yoko Ono and John Lennon wrote for I don't know which war it was, probably Vietnam maybe. Again, not well versed in this category. Brennan, what were your thoughts?
I didn't see any of the short animated films, but it made sense to me that that one would win. Because it's John Lennon, you know, the Beatles, you know, it's everyone knows who that is. Everyone knows who Yoko Ono is. You know, it's a good anti-war message. And that's something that's, I think that's an important topic right now. So I was pleased that it won, even though I didn't see it. And I think that it was something that's like, it makes sense that it would win, because I think in these cases,
the popular topic usually wins.
Well, yeah, that happens. And also the fact that if there's a big name attached to it,
mm-hmm.
You know, John Lennon, Yoko Ono, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
People are going to recognize it because it's got the backing of someone they know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move it on now to the production design. Best production design, Brennan. A victory of back-to-back, actually, because production design and makeup and hair, I believe, went to Poor Things. So Poor Things comes away with two awards in that category, best makeup and hairstyling, as well as best production design. I thought best production design was going to go to Barbie because I kind of see why they probably didn't give it to them, because they had like toys to build off of. So they kind of just built out the toys, but there's other parts of Barbie Land that they had to build. And I think, you know, that was impressive. But, you know, Poor Things, they kind of, I've heard that they basically kind of create a time period that, you know, it's not a real, it's like, it's based on like old Victorians, but they had to like, but like the subject isn't like, it's kind of supernatural because they resurrect the main character, Emma Stone. So it's kind of like, you know, Frankenstein-y. So they kind of created a different world. So I understand why they want production design and best hair and makeup. What about you, Brennan?
Well, they also won best costumes.
Yes, they also did win best costumes as well.
I think that in the case of production design and costumes, I was hoping that Barbie would win, but I did sense the possibility that Poor Things would win. And I saw Poor Things on Saturday. And I'll say that it's got a very interesting look that is very creative and unlike anything I've ever seen. But I was kind of hoping Barbie would win in these categories. Barbie was not nominated for hair and makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I just had a feeling that Poor Things would win these three categories. Because it is certainly one of the most unique looking films I've ever seen. And instead of just repeating real world imagery, it had to create something totally out there, totally new and weird. And so I'm glad it won. But as I said, I think for me personally, I think the costumes and production design of Barbie were my favorite this year. And the makeup Oscar makes sense to Poor Things, particularly what they do with Willem Dafoe's face. So I'm okay with these wins.
I am as well. I am as well. As well as the other two categories. I saw, you know, the images. I watched bits and pieces of the film. It makes sense. It makes perfect sense in my opinion. Now we're getting down to the music, Brennan. We're doing best music or best original song. The winner became What Was I Made For from Barbie by Billie Eilish and her brother, Phineas O'Connell. They beat out the other Barbie song, I'm Just Ken, Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot, as well as It Never Went Away from American Symphony, and Wazzy Hazzy from A Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't even think this was the best Barbie song off of the Barbie soundtrack. It was the most powerful song because of the meaning behind it. I don't think it was the best song. You know, and I personally preferred A Song for My People.
Our host is frozen.
What's up? Can you guys hear me now?
You froze there, yeah.
Oh, my bad. I said I personally, for me, A Song from My People is the song I would have given to. It will tie into my score, because the score ends up going to Ludwig Göransson from Oppenheimer. I believe, in my opinion, that the score for Killers of the Flower Moon was better, as well as the song was better than What Was I Made For. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to go on Twitter and yell about it, but I really wanted those two to win in these two categories. So I think, you know, I don't agree with this. I cannot agree with these two, these winners, in these two categories. What about you, Brendan?
Well, as far as the best original score, Robbie Robertson scored to Pillars of the Fire Moon was terrific. But I think that all during award season, Ludwig Göransson has been winning award after award for Oppenheimer. And so I figured that was going to happen. And I would have been fine with either Oppenheimer or Killers winning. Now, as far as song, I'm a little bit in disagreement with you. I think Wazaze is a fantastic song. I also think that What Was I Made For is a fantastic song.
I do too.
And so is I'm Just Ken. So it could have gone either way. I'm happy that What Was I Made For won, because as you can probably guess, I am a huge fan of the movie Barbie. I'm a huge fan of what Greta did with that. And I really think that What Was I Made For is the heart and soul of Barbie, because it's used in all the emotional moments that elevate the movie from just a comedy to a rather profound film. And I think that Billy's song gave it that emotional weight in those scenes where the movie is being emotional. You hear the song, and for me, I can't listen to that song without crying. particularly watching it at the Oscars, Billy singing it. Oop, we froze a bit.
Nope, we're back.
I was in tears listening to her sing. I would have been happy with What Was I Made For or I Just Can't winning. And I'm glad that What Was I Made For won, because I think that it, as I said, emotionally gave the film the heart that I think connected with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can see that, Brendan. I can see that. I can see that. So moving on to, no, we already did hair and makeup because I was poor things. Best international film, Zone of Interest won it. Like we said, you know, Brendan, I take Brendan's, thoughts on movies very seriously. When Brendan tells me this movie's a masterpiece, I didn't question it winning Best International Film. What were you feeling about it, Brendan? Because this is a film you called a masterpiece.
I figured it would win, and it mm-hmm. did, and I was very happy. I think Jonathan Glazer did something. He, yet again, a movie that does the impossible.
Mm-hmm.
If you wrote it down on paper, said, okay, I'm going to make a movie about a Nazi family just going about their day while people are being killed on the other side of the wall. That sounds like the most inappropriate movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
But a great director and a great screenplay took a ridiculously insulting idea and turned it into a movie that is powerful, because it's not excusing their behavior. It's saying these people are evil because they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They're murdering people and they do not care.
Yep. They're complicit.
Yes. And so when it won, deservedly so, because I think that, in my opinion, it is the best film of 2023. It's not one that I'm going to rewatch again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Oppenheimer was the right. Well, we'll get there, but I think Oppenheimer Oppenheimer is, you know, fantastic. I think that Zone of Interest is the most incredible film this year, I think. Definitely not a movie that's easy to watch. In fact, some people might not be able to watch it just because it's horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that it is so well made, so brilliantly done, when it could have easily gone wrong. I'm glad it won. And I do think that, you know, Anatomy of a Fall and Zone of Interest were like the best foreign films this year.
Yep, precisely.
Anatomy did not get a nomination. There is some question as to why.
Yeah, there's category. Yeah, there is some rumor out there that the French movie body didn't want to nominate this movie because they're beefing with Justine Triet, and they're kind of like, we're not going to submit your movie. And they submitted another film, but then her movie ended up getting nominated anyway for best screenplay. She wins it. So there's that. So yeah, it's a little rumor that, you know, the French Film Society doesn't like Justine because she, you know, she's always calling them out. That's a rumor.
Yeah. A rumor. So if Anatomy had been nominated in Best International Feature,
mm-hmm.
Zone of Interest, I think, is still the one that deserved or was worthy of that Oscar.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep it going, Brendan. Now we're into film editing. The winner became Jennifer Lame, winner for Oppenheimer. I think this is a great victory for them because the editing of Oppenheimer was tremendous. I didn't feel out of place because they did a lot of time jumping, right? They went back and forth and forward sometimes. So sometimes they went forward, then they went backwards, and they went back to the present. So, but I didn't feel confused. And a lot of editing is making sure people can follow the story well. And Jennifer Lame did that with Oppenheimer. I followed the story well, and she did a great job with it. So kudos to her for winning this Oscar because I think she deserves it definitely because you were not disoriented. You were not confused. You knew where you always were when you were watching Oppenheimer, and that takes a great editor to know that. So shout out to Jennifer Lame.
I agree. I think that you took this three-hour epic.
Mm-hmm.
And make it flow in a way that doesn't put people.
You don't feel the 3 hours.
And you're right. A lot of the editing with the time jumps was really well done. Because it wasn't disorienting. And so congratulations to her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting into the documentary section of the evening. Best documentary short film goes to The Last Repair Shop. Again, I didn't know much about these movies, so I cannot say if this is a rightful victor or a wrongful victor. It's a victor, and shout out to The Last Repair Shop. Shout out to Ben Proudfoot and Chris Bowers. You deserved it. Shout out to you, my man. You know, I think the movie was about how they would rebuild old musical instruments because I saw multiple violins being fixed in the cut scenes, but yeah, shout out to them.
Yes, I thought that the ABCs of book banning would win just because it's
timely,
a topical issue, but I've heard nothing but good things about The Last Repair Shop, which is on Disney Plus. In fact, all 5 documentary shorts can be found streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll have to get around to watching this one.
Yeah. Go watch.
I've heard nothing but good things.
You don't even just watch the winners. Watch the losers. They were nominated for a reason, right? Yep. So watch the ones, even the ones that didn't win. So, you know, go watch them all. You know, so make sure to keep on the lookout.
Yeah.
Then we get to the long form best documentary feature film. The winner was 20 Days in Mariupol. I believe this movie was about the Ukrainian conflict with Russia.
Yes.
It was a very, you know, strong, poignant moment within the acceptor. You could see him, you know, because it was about his family and his time, and he was very shaken. So shout out to them, 20 Days in Mariupol. Did you watch this movie, Brennan? This documentary?
I did not. Okay. I know that you can rent it to stream it.
Mm-hmm.
I probably will at some point. But it definitely is a very timely documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think you're right, the speech was great because what's going on is wrong, and Russia is in the wrong, and he can't justify it in any way. And I'm glad that he was definitely willing to make this film about the nightmare that's going on over there in the Ukraine. And we here at LGRN hope that war will end soon.
Mm-hmm. Now we're on to Best Director, Brendan. You brought it up. It was one of your favorite categories. It is Oppenheimer. Christopher Nolan won for Best Direction. And I couldn't think of a more justified and, you know, what I say, not justified, more correct choice. I loved Oppenheimer. It directed very well. A good director can make you feel same thing with the editor. Like the editor and the director and the cinematographer, they all it was a perfect harmony. Because when you're directing a 3-hour film, you know, it was a complaint about in the jokes. Jimmy Kimmel talked about how like he had to have his mail forwarded when he was watching Killers of the Flower Moon. My thing is this, Brennan. You know, I go to the famous, I think Roger Ebert, Gene Siskel quote was, no bad movie is too short and no good movie is too long. A good movie is a good movie. You know, it's, you know, and if you like the movie, no matter if you're there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, you're going to forever love that movie. And I currently do not care about the complaints about length of film, because you are the same people who complain about length of film are the same people who watch 8 hours of television back to back to back to back to back. You know? So length doesn't matter. And Christopher Nolan directed an epic, a movie on a grand scale, a film that showed people that he still can do film epics. You know, he didn't want to pigeon himself as the Batman guy, but he's more than that. He, you know, he has Inception, he has Oppenheimer, and I'm happy that he won Best Director at this year's Oscars. Anything else, Brendan?
I think it was time. I think it was time. And I think that Nolan took everything he knew, everything he's learned over these 20 years. 25 years he's been making movies. I think he took everything he's learned and put it all together in one movie, and that's Oppenheimer. And I think that he took what could have been a kind of boring history lesson and made it into a movie that made $1 billion, that everybody loved, everybody was praising, and with a huge cast that was almost like how in the world is this going to work with this many people? But Nolan, being a genius, took those ideas and took something that could have gone really boring and made an exciting, frightening, very, you know, thought-provoking idea and brought it to the screen in such a powerful way. And I think that Nolan was obviously the favorite to win, and that this is a great category. It's all five directors did a great job, and even the ones that didn't get nominated did a good job. But Nolan, I think, was at the, what do they say, the peak of his powers as a director. And I think that what we got was an extraordinary examination of one of the most important and yet most frightening events in human history.
Absolutely, Brennan. Absolutely. You know, let's take, you know, shout out to people in the chat. You know, shout out to Star Drew. What's up, Star Drew? Shout out to the homie Cap. Adelia's in the chat. Shout out to D. The Godzilla shoes are the best. Yep, back in the day. They were. Brian Gallston's Marilyn Monroe inspired performance was fantastic. Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. So good.
Yeah. So next category was costume design, but we already talked about costume design because it was a part of the trio of victories by Poor Things. So shout out to costume design. Shout out to Holly Waddington. So shout out to her for the victory. We keep rolling. Best cinematography. Victory came to Oppenheimer, to Hoyt van Hoytema. Hoyt van Hoytema. Shout out to you, Hoyt. Victory. Not that upset about this victory, even though I also loved Killers of the Flower Moon's cinematography. Rodrigo Pierto, oh my God, it was tremendous. But losing out to Oppenheimer was a justifiable result. And he knocked it out of the park with the interpretation of cinematography. A lot of people don't know what cinematography, like they kind of think they know, but they don't really know. It's, you know, it's the way you convey certain images on the screen. And he knocked it out of the park with Oppenheimer. So shout out to Hoyt. He did tremendous. What about you, Brendan?
Well, you mentioned Rodrigo Prieto for Kills of Thurman.
Yes, I did.
He had a really good year.
Yes, he did.
Thurman and Barbie. And so, great image after great image.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan films have always had spectacular cinematography. This is the second Nolan film to win Best Cinematography. The first being Inception. Inception. I'm very happy for Quentin Tarantino. I think that what he has done creating these amazing vista shots, or these great close-ups, or these great, you know, the use of color and black and white,
mm-hmm.
and just some incredible framing. I think that Oppenheimer is full of great image after great image. I'm very glad Hoyt won, and I'm very glad that the movie got this accolade.
And what an accolade it is. What an accolade indeed. It is.
Yeah. Indeed.
You know, and because, you know, because cinematography, man, the art and technology of motion picture photography, basically, you know, you have composition of light, of the set, the location, choice of cameras, which cameras you use, lenses, filters, film stock, the camera angle, the movements, you know, and the integration of special effects. It's the whole kind caboodle. It's what you see. And shout out to Hoyt, man. He knocked it out of the park. And then we keep moving forward. We're one more award before we get into the acting awards. It is best animated film. And the victory went to Hayao Miyazaki for Boy and the Heron. I heard a lot of stuff saying that this was definitely the front runner in this category. Personally, I wanted Spider-Man to win. But I kept hearing noise. I'm like, oh, no, it's going to be the Boy and the Heron. I haven't watched The Boy and the Heron. Probably going to start watching it now because it beat out my favorite film of last year. One of them, Across the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man. But Brendan, when you heard Boy and the Heron, were you shocked? I don't think I wasn't shocked, but were you shocked?
No, I wasn't shocked. I think that in the... I have not seen the film yet. I will get on that soon. But the Academy has loved Hayao Miyazaki for more than 20 years.
Yes.
Almost 40 years they've loved him. Or, you know, when he started in the 80s. And I figured that the movie, which I heard was very good, you take how good it is, added with their love of Miyazaki, because he is a legend, that I think that was going to win out. And it could have gone either way. It could have gone Spider-Verse. It could have gone Boy and the Heron. I am very excited for Miyazaki, though. This is the second Oscar he's won without showing up to the Oscars.
Respect. It's like Dame Maggie Smith.
Yeah. So, yeah, it would have been nice if you were there.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, I'm glad that he won. And I would have been happy either way with the win.
All right. Now, Brendan, we're going to get to the bread and butter of all the ceremony, the acting category, starting first with Best Actress in a Supporting Role. We know it. We love it. And it went to Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. She has been winning all the awards all season long. She won the SAG, the Golden Globe. I don't know if she was up for a BAFTA, because I don't know if there's any British people in that movie. But she won the two major awards prior to the Oscars, and the Oscars gave it to her this time around. Justifiably, poetically, emotionally, great choice. Loved her in The Holdovers. A powerful performance dealing with grief and pain and processing your emotions. Just hit it out of the park by Divine Joy Randolph. What about you, Brandon?
Well, first of all, I need to give a shout out to America Ferrera. I'm glad that she was nominated for Barbie. But we all knew what was going to win in this category.
Mm-hmm.
Divine, yet again, she took a role that could have been a cliche or a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Of the black cook. And she made the character much more than that. And there are some scenes in here, particularly the scene at a dinner party.
She didn't win the BAFTA. She didn't win the BAFTA.
Where she finally comes to grips with the fact that her son is gone. It's one of the best moments I think I saw this year.
Mm-hmm.
In film. Because the way she played it, instead of being lots of loud crying and stuff, it's a quiet moment, and she did it so well. To me, good acting is found in both the big moments and the little moments. And in her case, the choices she made in this film were interesting, were very interesting and captivating. She was very much in the scene. She had my attention. My eyes were always on her, because I thought she was just so fascinating. I'm very glad she won. We all knew it was going to happen. Her speech was very moving.
Mm-hmm.
She did an amazing job of taking this role and transforming it into something that caught everyone's heart.
Absolutely, Brandon. I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Moving on to the second acting nomination. It's Best Actor in a Supporting Role. I don't have much to say anymore, because I already talked about why I love this victory by Robert Downey Jr. I want to give you the platform, Brandon, if you have anything else to say about Robert Downey Jr. winning this award.
Well, I just want to say I'm glad that Ryan Gosling got nominated here.
Yep.
But we all knew that RDJ had this one. And deservedly so, because he transformed. He wasn't playing Tony Stark. He wasn't doing the same old shtick.
Mm-hmm.
This is a character that was unlikable. It's the character that was vindictive. This is a character that was all about getting his revenge on something that he was offended by that never happened in the first place.
Yes.
An incredible performance of this rival of Oppenheimer. And I think that Robert Downey Jr. had been having a hard time, because after the Avengers Infinity Saga ended,
yeah,
he went and did Doolittle, which was terrible. And he had done The Judge earlier, which didn't do that great either. So he was kind of looking for just the right place to go. And when you work with Christopher Nolan, It's going to bring out the best in you. So I'm very glad he won. And as you said, what a journey that brother has gone on through the years.
What? Yeah, tremendous. Then we keep it moving to the best actress in a leading role. Victory by Emma Stone. I said a little bit about this piece, saying that I believe Emma Stone won this award because her opponents, two of them, had to be, they were locked in with their male acting counterpart, and Leo DiCaprio with Lily Gladstone, and Carey Mulligan and Maestro. Her and Sandra Hüller were probably, and Annette Bening were probably the movie was about them. They were the subject. And Emma Stone is a tried and true Oscar winner, and she won the award. Would I have given it to Lily Gladstone? Absolutely. Because Lily Gladstone did something that I think is very hard to do. She acted without words. Mm-hmm. Her eyes, her face, her body movement, her aura in the film, I think that's harder to act than actually saying words like an actor. That's why I think what Tom Hardy did in Mad Max Fury Road was extremely impressive. He conveyed a lot of emotion with just grunts and no words and movements. Body acting is a thing. Acting is acting. Body or words. You got to portray words. I always go to the famous thing of Superman, where Christopher Reeves, when he's Clark Kent, he hunches over. He kind of, makes himself feel a little small. But when he takes off the glasses and he becomes Superman, he becomes larger than life. Mm-hmm. And that's a very great skill to have as an actor. And Lily Gladstone did that in spades in Killers of the Flower Moon. I would have went with Lily Gladstone personally. Not even just the historical aspect of it. Like, forget that. That doesn't matter to me. She had a great performance in that movie. Do I need to get over my fear of watching Yorgos Lanthimos movies to watch Emma Stone in Poor Things? Probably. But, I'm going to go with Lily. What about you, Brendan?
I feel the same way. I saw, like I said, Poor Things on Saturday. Emma is great in it. Such an odd, strange performance. Lily did acting without acting. She played it so understated.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. Because it was a strength to Melanie Burkhart. An incredible strength. Without needing to say a lot. And yes. I'm happy for Emma. I do like her a lot. But like you, I would have gone with Lily Gladstone. I'll bet you that it was a close race. I'll bet it was very close.
I hope so. I truly hope so. But now to the counterpart of the category. Best actor in a leading role. Wins. The victor is another sweet victory for me. Was Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer. And this victory proves to me Cillian Murphy's now a bona fide, tried and true A-list actor in Hollywood and overall society. Because I always believe that A-list actors have that one film, right? That one film that is their film and it's them. Like, it's their film. He was in a Batman movie. He was in all three Batman movies. But he was Scarecrow. He was kind of secondary to the main villain. He did lead Peaky Blinders, which was a massive show around the world, that's cool. But now he has a film that is his film that when you say Cillian Murphy, you say Oppenheimer. That's Oppenheimer. You kind of have a brand, not a brand in the sense that that's why I know you. That's why you're an A-list guy. Oppenheimer, you killed it. You hit it out of the park. You were tremendous. And I'm proud that he won this, man. Shout out to Cillian Murphy, man. And I'm happy for him. Great actor. I have been a massive fan of him for years. He's a phenomenal actor. Christopher Nolan has loved him for years. He's always in Nolan films. He's always in the back. He's always been a secondary character. But now Nolan was like, you're my guy. You lead this. You be the face. Just tremendous. Drew, that's Murphy was not Lashif in Casino Royale. That was Mads Mikkelsen. Oh.
Yeah, that's Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes.
Yeah, I first saw Killian in Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
I could not take my eyes off him. He's got those beautiful blue eyes.
Yep.
But there's something about them, about his face, that is so interesting that I couldn't take my eyes off it. And throughout the last 20 years, he's played a character that's usually a side character. This time, he's the lead. He's the star. His performance as Oppenheimer was fantastic because he plays a guy who's trying to create this heroic image of himself. And we see, of course, that he is tormented by what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And as far as the win here, it was either going to be Paul Giamatti or Killian Murphy.
Absolutely.
Either way, I would have been very happy. But I'm glad for Killian because, as you say, he is now like a leading man.
Yes.
And also, I think that the performance was so interesting because it's, yet again, like Lily Gladstone, it's very understated. But the ability to act while playing it down, that's like the real test, I think.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And I think Killian did a great job. I'm glad he won. And I think that performance will remain in our minds for a while, I think.
Absolutely, Brennan. I'm with you 100%. With you 100%. But now, Brennan, we can tell us the end of the show. And just like the Oscars, we're going to end with the crescendo of the night. Best Picture, the only category that has more than five subjects, which, again, still don't understand. Makes no sense. But the winner of the grand prize at the Oscars, Best Picture, it goes to none other than, drumroll please, it's Oppenheimer, producers Emma Thomas, Charles Croven and Christopher Nolan, one half of Barbenheimer, one half of one of the greatest theatrical movie experiences of all time. $1 billion and $1 billion.
Yeah,
I think is a justifiable win. I think it is a tremendous movie. It works on so many levels. There's so many characters. And even though the ones that come in for like 5 minutes and leave, they eat scenery. Alden Ehrenreich, he is just tremendous with his scenes with Robert De Niro. I didn't feel he was out of depth. He was tremendous. Josh Hartnett as Dr. Lawrence, of Lawrence Family Labs in Berkeley here. He hits it out of the park when he's with Oppenheimer, which is Killian Murphy. The movie was shot well. The grain and the colors and the black and white and the going back. It's just, you called Zone of Interest a masterpiece, Brennan?
Yeah.
Oppenheimer to me is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Mixing was tremendous. I heard everything. And it was chef's kiss in a valid and worthy Best Picture winner.
Yep. I think that even though Zone of Interest was one of the nominees here, I did think it was a masterpiece, yes. But to me, there was no question that the greatest film of this year, not only in terms of art, but in terms of cultural impact, Oppenheimer. Because I think that because Zone of Interest is a masterpiece, I don't think that means that it's the best film of 2023. I think that you also have to consider what is the impact of the film you're watching. Oppenheimer, as you're saying, made $1 billion. The Barbenheimer phenomenon was, there is nothing like that in the history of Hollywood.
Nothing. Nothing will ever, ever do it again. Because it was organic and it was people driven.
And besides the awards, Barbie and Oppenheimer are the winners this year in everybody's hearts because of the impact that they had. Oppenheimer, what can I say that hasn't already been said? I'm so glad that Christopher Nolan is finally getting recognized. I'm so happy for him, for his wife and producer Emma Thomas, for taking this idea that sounds kind of boring, sounds kind of stale, and turning it into a magnificent film experience with an incredible cast. And good grief, Josh Hartnett used to be kind of a joke back in the late 90s. Now you look at him in this movie.
Tremendous.
There's so much I could say. But suffice to say, I think that Nolan outdid himself this year. And I am glad that he's got the Oscar gold to show for it. And I'm glad that this movie did as well as it did. Because we have not had the best picture winners in the last 20 years had barely made money.
Yeah.
Yeah, barely anybody saw them except the cinema fanatics. It's been 20 years exactly since we had a movie make this much money. With Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is Oppenheimer a great critical success, but people went and saw it in droves.
Yeah. A biopic, Ryan. So, Brennan, it was a 3-hour biopic about a scientist.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. You know what I mean? So that's what's great about it. It transcended people's viewing habits because of the Barbenheimer event and the pursuit of wanting to make it happen. And people were not disappointed with the movie. They went into the movie saying like, oh, we're going to do this little fun thing, Barbenheimer, and then we're not going to do it again. But then people kept coming back and kept coming back and kept coming back and kept coming back. And it made $953 million, almost $1 billion.
Yep.
It works. It works, man. It works. And it was tremendous all around. It was tremendous all around. Well, Brennan, that was the last award of the night. This is the end of the show. Where can people find you, my man?
You can find me on X at Brennan Mystical. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at Brennan Blue. You can find my Star Wars podcast, Page Turners They Will Not, on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's perfect and wonderful. Brennan, you got, guys, my name is Ferris Madonna. Follow me at Ferris Madonna on Twitter. Find me here every Friday, 8 o'clock Pacific on the Open Table. Me and Adelia talk about just, you know, life and the smattering of other topics. And on our sports channel, every Friday, 3 o'clock Pacific, me and Caleb talk American football. So there's that, as well as every Thursday on this channel at 3 o'clock, it is the Rewatchers Council. Or the Rewatchers Council is me, Adelia, and Snark. We are watching and reviewing Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So make sure to be on the lookout for that on this Thursday coming up. Again, thank you so much for joining us. You guys have a wonderful day. Make sure to like this video and subscribe to the channel. We're 2 away from 860, which makes it we're 42 away from 900. So make sure to like that video and subscribe. See you guys next time. And we'll have fun. You have fun and you stay safe. Peace. Yep. Shoes, new tracks, like who's that? I'm new, come back better than last. Yeah, it's a new me, never gonna look back. Never gonna look back. Cause damn, I was built to last. You move slow and I move fast. And that's facts. Only I can make a change. Slowly take a step today. I will never be the same. Cause that's what it takes.